Hey, it's a party day today, and I just want to start off with prayer before we get talking here. God, it's a good day today. We're celebrating, and for many of us, we are free because you, your son, has set us free. And so today, God, help us to see these stories. Help us to get a glimpse of all that you've been doing over these last 6 weeks. And today, God, we just celebrate. We give you all the credit for all the steps, all the new places that many of us have gone over these last weeks. So God, I pray this in your name and according to your character. Amen. It is great to have you here today. My name's Kurt Walters. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm here with our host, Erica, who's going to be kind of sharing and leading us through this time today. And, you know, we've been on this free journey, this journey for the last 6 weeks where many of us have been identifying things in our life that God has been setting us free from. And it's been an exciting time. And if this is your first week with us today, let me just say welcome. You have caught us on a great, great day because you're going to be hearing some really cool stories, some things that have been happening all around this community. And this is just a glimpse of what's been going on. And so it's a good day, and we're glad that you're here with us. One of the things we want to ask you to do before we get rolling too far this morning is to take out your weekly, which you received when you came in today. How about this new weekly you got today? A new format, a lot of new information in here. Make sure you read through it, some really funny, humorous things as well. And inside is a connection card. And if you want to take that out, grab a pen next to you. And if you just wouldn't mind filling this out for us, if you're a partner or a regular attender, all we need is your name and then any information that's changed so we can keep our database up to date. And if you're a guest today, we just first want to say welcome. We're glad that you've taken a little bit of time out of your Sunday to spend with us here at Cross Point. And if you wouldn't mind filling this out as well with as much information as you're comfortable passing along, on the left side is a box that asks if it's your first time, second time with us. And then at the bottom is a question that asks how you heard about Cross Point. We're always interested in hearing that. A lot of cool stories of how people get connected here. And then on the back, if you're interested in additional information, there's some places to check boxes, and we'll send that to you. Now, while you're filling that out, let me just give you a personal invite. If you're newer to the Cross Point community, we have this event called Explore Cross Point that's coming up this Friday evening at 7 o'clock, and this is going to be in a backyard around a fire pit, assuming the fire ban gets lifted from Fishers. We're hoping for rain this week. And, you know, it's kind of an outdoor just party. It's just a time, if you're newer to Cross Point, want to ask some questions, find out a little bit more about who we are, what we're doing. If you have questions you'd like to ask our ministry team, myself, anything's fair game. It's very casual, no pressure evening, just a chance for you if you're newer to connect with additional people, to maybe get some questions answered, to enjoy some good food. And all you need to do is mark the back of your card, and we'll send you details on where that's taking place. Now, as we've been going through this series, The Free Journey, I mean, it's been a really incredible experience for many of us. And you know, we've realized one of the human longings that we have is to live freely. I mean, to just increasingly, as we go through life, live a free life. And freedom is an interesting thing. You know, sometimes what freedom we think is freedom is not really freedom. And so one of the things we've been kind of talking about every week is this through line that runs all throughout the Bible. And we see that this through line throughout the scriptures is that God champions our freedom. He's our biggest cheerleader when it comes to freedom. And you might think of God as somebody who like is all about restrictions. Well, we've been seeing that God actually champions our freedom. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, it doesn't say where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's Republicans. It doesn't say there's Democrats. It doesn't say there's morality. It doesn't say there's, you know, goody two-shoes. All the things that we think, you know, go along with what it means to be a follower of Christ. No, he says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We are increasingly released to live this life that God designed us for.
There were a number of significant things that lend itself to this journey and being the success that it's been in so many people's lives. But two of the unique things were the Life Together small groups and the Orange Free Journey Guide. And we heard from so many people, many of who have done small groups or Life Together groups in the past, who said this group, there was something very special about this group, something very meaningful about going through this. We heard so many powerful stories of things that happened within the group. And I think there's something to that, that we're made to be in community with each other. And so going through this process and this journey together, for a lot of people, a big part of the process of becoming free was being in community with others. And for some, it was maybe just a support group to be able to share things through. Others, maybe they developed some sort of accountability through it. I think, bottom line, at the very least, I think what we many of us took from this was this whole idea that I'm not alone. I'm going through this with somebody else. And even though my struggle or my stronghold might be different than yours, there's some common areas there. And the common, really, area being there is that we all have things in our life to be freed from. And then whether you did this journey in a group, a small group, or you did it on your own, this book, this is another thing that we heard feedback from people on, is that boy, and going through this free journey study guide, you'll hear us reference a lot of things in here about being a green or a yellow or a red or a blue.
We try to not pigeonhole people, but we very well did that through this series, didn't we? Yeah.
Well, and that was the neat thing about this book that I think for a lot of people kind of hit a square between the eyes was that as we began to journal and we began to address some things in our lives, we began to identify some areas in which maybe we didn't have clarity before and areas in which we need to be free from. And so I think that helped a lot of people kind of begin this process or even get to the process of breaking free from a lot of these things was this. And I think there's something, too, about writing things down. Mm-hmm. I mean, writing down your dreams and writing down the things that have been holding you back that kind of help you get to this point of becoming free.
Exactly. Well, and I know first hour, there are a number of people who are with us for the first time, and these are available at the back door. If you want to grab one, if you don't have one, you can go through this without tracking on our weekends, because this is a very big self-awareness piece, and we've seen really cool stuff. Now, one of the things that we've kind of been identifying as we go through this journey is that we're all tethered to something. It's the question we've asked every week, what are you tethered to? And you might say, man, I'm free. There's nothing in my life that's holding me down. Nobody's controlling me. I'm my own boss. I rule everything around me. I'm not free. But the reality is we're all tethered to something. You've identified things you're tethered to. I've identified things I'm tethered to. We realize that we're all tethered to something. And the question then becomes, are these things that I'm tethered to, are they actually things that keep me from becoming the person I want to become, keeping my marriage from becoming what my marriage should be, keeping maybe my family from being what it should be, keeping me as a man or me as a woman? I'm not a woman. Not me as a woman. You as a woman from becoming the woman that you God desired you to be? Or am I tethered to one who champions my freedom? And one of the things we've realized is that, one, we need community, as you just shared. Yeah. But two, we realize that Jesus is not only someone who wants us to be free, but in many ways, he's the only one who can free us from certain things that we can't free ourselves from. There are certain things going on in each one of our lives that only Jesus, when we tether ourselves to Christ, are we truly able to disconnect from those things. And so we've asked that question, who are you tethered to? And last week, as we kind of looked forward and talked about how do we go forward, and we've gone through this free thing, how do we begin to march forward and live more freely? One of the experiences we did is we shared in what's known as the Lord's Supper, or the Last Supper, or Communion, or the Mass, or the Eucharist, whatever you may refer to it as. And it was a celebration event in a sense where we celebrated Christ's death and resurrection, those of us that have received grace from him. And we said, we're going to celebrate this because this is the event that causes us or allows us to be free. And one of the unique things that happened as you walked away from the table, if you were here last week, is you got a piece of string to put on your wrist and to remind you. This was kind of a mark the moment thing to take with you to remind you daily. As you see on my wrist, I still have one of how I'm tethered to Christ, how my freedom comes because I'm tethered to Christ. And just out of curiosity, how many of you still have these on your wrist? Let me see that hand up. Wow, we are a bunch of losers, aren't we? In fact, I saw about half of yours on the floor last week when you walked out of here because we gave you faulty string, and apparently the song Never Let Go is not true. God let you go. Before you even left here last week, he detethered from you and detached you. Is that true?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think it was the faulty string.
It was a faulty string. So we have new string for you today. Our greeters are going to come and hand these down the rows. If you didn't got string last week and you didn't, you lost that, then just take one as it goes by. If you weren't with us and you consider yourself a follower of Christ and you want some string, a tangible thing, because you want this reminder that I'm tethered to Christ, take a piece. Now, one of the things you realize is that you can't put this on yourself. You can try all service long. I'm going to watch you fidget for the service. If you try, you're going to be down there trying to tie this thing. You need someone else to help you put this on your wrist. In fact, I tied one on Eric's wrist earlier this morning. Yeah. And, it reminds us that we need community to maintain our freedom. It's one of those symbolic things that we need. And so go ahead, and as you're doing that, help somebody tie that on and help each other remind one another that we're free.
And I think one of the neat things that we've even shared is this whole idea of community and sharing our stories with others. I think sometimes the freedom process moves along quicker, or there's healing in relationships because we share our stories with other people. And so throughout the course of this morning, we're going to hear some neat freedom stories. A number of you have been sharing it with others, been sharing with Kurt what God has done in your life over these last few weeks or so, these last 6 weeks. And one of the biggest realizations for many people during the course of this journey was just this whole idea of that we all have things in our life that we need to be freed of. You are not an isolated case. We may be in different areas of our journey, but we all have areas of our life that we need to be freed of. And here's one person's freedom story.
Hi, my name is Lori. The most impactful part of this journey for me has probably been just actually coming to the realization that I had something that I needed to be set free from. And for me, that was realizing that I had this reputation that I was trying to keep up, that I didn't want anybody to believe that I had any weaknesses, when in reality, I have learned that I have a lot of weaknesses. And learning how to deal with that was huge. It's been very freeing for me to learn that I can ask for help when I need it, that nobody thinks less of me because there are areas in my life where I do need help. And more importantly, that I do serve a God who wants me to ask him for help when I need it. By far, my favorite part of this series was working through the journal. One thing that, you know, that I loved about it was writing things down. That was so revealing to me. And going over things in my Life Together group. And then being able to ask them to pray for me, that was a huge step in my life. I have never been able to ask anyone to pray for me. And now I find myself doing it a lot. The week that during Life Together, we actually, that was, you know, our assignment or whatever, was to pray for someone else. I loved hearing the next week who prayed for me and how she had prayed for me. I found it to be an honor to pray for the person that I had prayed for because it's someone that I've grown to love very much. It's something that I do very regularly now. I was yellow, which I keep saying was rejection or unloved. I can't remember what it actually said in the journal, but I was actually very surprised when I read that because I wouldn't have thought that. But I do see it now. And I think it kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, what was revealed to me, which was that I don't want people to see me as weak. Because I think from early on in my life, I kind of saw that played out in things that went on in my life, even when I was a child. And I think that even when I was younger, I kind of felt like I needed to defend for myself, and that's carried through into my adult life. So by not asking for help, it kind of serves as armor for me. And this journey has revealed to me that I don't need that armor. There are tons of people in my life who do love me, and you know that God loves me more than anyone. There's no reason for me to feel that way. I've actually found that it's led me to lead a more stress-free life. I have found myself delegating a little bit more at work. I found myself reprioritizing at home, and you know, I feel like it's making me a happier person, which in turn is maybe hopefully making people around me a little happier too. God is in control, and I need to understand that there is a plan for my life. I can't make it change. I can only take God's plan for me and ask him what he wants me to do with that plan. For me, it's made it more relaxed. I think before, you know, that relationship for me was always, you know, I would always say, "Always, I serve you, God, but let's do things my way." So it's just made it, you know, I guess I've given in, or you know, I've kind of turned the reins over. So it truly is His plan in my life, and I've accepted that. So it's more relaxed. I understand now that he's in control, and that's okay with me. Ultimately, what I want to do is live for Christ, and I hope that everyone around me can see that. So my goal is just to live for God every day and see where that takes me.
you know, really cool stories. And we've had story after story coming in through this journey, much like Lori's story of just practical things. I mean, everyday things that we began to realize that, you know, I'm believing certain things about God, about my life that aren't true. And when I begin to realize that and realize that God has a different plan for my life, that man, I begin to live in a very free sense. And, you know, one of the things that we did throughout the journey each week is we gave you a visual. We gave you some kind of visual of something that was free from airplanes. Oftentimes they had to do with flight, airplanes, butterflies, birds. I mean, we have this visual that gives us a visual image, a connect to remind us that God desires us to soar, that, you know, when we are tied down and tethered to things that don't champion our freedom, then we can't soar the way God wants us to. And, you know, one of the stories that I heard when I was standing at the front door a couple weeks ago came from someone who said, you know, it was the week after the butterfly where we talked about a caterpillar moving to the chrysalis phase and eventually emerging as a butterfly. And then we had butterflies flying all around this room and behind the screens. And it was just a really cool morning as we talked about the phases that we go through. And every time we make a change, there's always a point where we feel like we're failing. Every time we make a break, we feel like we're failing. And so this butterfly was just this picture that even as we go through the process, we eventually will get to that place where we're free. And this person stopped by the front doors and just told me about a day in their office the last week. And they said, you know, it was just a terrible day. I had some projects crash. And I just got up from my desk and I walked away and I just walked over to the window on the second floor, second story of my office building. And he said, I was standing right there next to the window, right next to the glass. And out of nowhere came this butterfly fluttering right outside my window. And he said, yeah, no, butterflies don't fly around on the second story. All right. I mean, he said, it's the strangest thing. And then he put his finger on the glass. And it landed right there. And he said it just was this physical, tangible reminder that God is championing my freedom. And even when I've had a bad day, who I am as a person isn't defined by my project. Who I am as a person isn't defined by whether I can figure this out right now. But I can be free and God will get me through this. And it was just another one of those tangible, mm-hmm. tangible reminders that God cares about those little things.
Yeah, he's in the details of all of our lives and he does those kinds of things for us. And I think one of the biggest, you know, lies that we can all tell ourselves sometimes is that God got too many other things going on in this world. There's so many bigger things that he's too busy for the issues that I have, or that he's got other big things that he's got to attend to. And I think what many of us realize going through this journey is that God wants to be part of this journey with us. You know, for Terry, that was kind of his story. I mean, I think he went through this journey and he realized that, you know, God wants us to trust him. He wants us to rely on him. He cares about us. He cares about the intimate details of our lives. And for more on Terry's story, just look to the screens.
I think the most impactful part was realizing why maybe I didn't ask for God to be involved as much. It was more of the realization that because I was so lucky in so many areas, that I felt like I wasn't as important to God. God had more important things to do with his time than to worry about me, because I already had these things that I was so thankful for. And so I think, you know, coming to that realization and realizing that, you know, I can ask for God's help and ask for, you know, different things through prayer, and it not be that he doesn't have time for me or that, you know, I'm not as important as these other things. I was the color blue, and it was for religion. I think when I very first saw that it was religion, I didn't understand how what it was saying was really affecting my life or really what part of religion was maybe holding me back or how I was holding myself back or really what any of it meant. And so as I started to dive deeper into week 2 and 3 and 4, I started to think about different things that I was asking for and different things that I wasn't asking for and how I was letting God in and how I wasn't letting God in, I guess. When I came, you know, to the point of realization that I wasn't praying to God and asking for things out of a feeling of that I wasn't as important, really, because there were all these other things. There's world hunger, there's peace, there's all these other things. There's people, you know, who have diseases and, you know, have you know, troubles in life. And I really feel blessed to be where I'm at. And I think that was just really the realization that I came through throughout the weeks that I noticed and how that was playing a part in my life and really me not just asking for things or trusting in God. You know, I guess, you know, the thought I had was that, you know, these are all priorities for God. God's focusing on all this stuff and he doesn't have time for me and for my, you know, little problems, which, you know, I think now I realize that I can still pray to God and ask for God, and he's listening. It's not that he's not listening because he has these other priorities. It's, you know, I'm listening. You know, I have time for this other stuff. I have time for you. I have time for all of this. But open your heart and you know, trust in me, I guess. So it's now, you know, when I pray, I don't think of it as much as, you know, if God has time for this, or, you know, maybe God's listening if he's not busy with all these other things. It's, you know, God is listening. It's just, you know, I've got to be willing to talk for him to be able to listen, I guess. So I've got to be honest. It's definitely taken me a step further. It's definitely opened me up to thinking of new things, I guess, and trusting, I guess, that I can open up and that I can put more faith, more trust in God, and really just believing more, I guess, that somebody's able to listen to me, you know, when I'm going through hard times, or when I'm not going through hard times and things are going well, that he's still able to listen. So I think that's more where I've grown.
I think that that song kind of captures the heart of what many of us have been learning. I know for me, you know, there's certain lies, and you said this a few minutes ago, Eric, that we've been believing, you know, small things that we've kind of given ourselves away on, or maybe that we believed about God or what he had in store for us, and we're reclaiming those, that God actually is always there, always wants to be a part of these parts of our life. And, you know, I've shared over the last 6 weeks, I'm pretty transparent when I share, and, you know, I've shared how, you know, when I came in this journey, I was really honest. I said, you know, I didn't think I was going to get free of anything. I thought, man, I'm gonna journey with this. I'm good. I know everything about being free. I'm gonna help this community kind of track through this. And I always work, you know, 3-4 days ahead in the guide just so I can kind of be prepared for the next weekend. And all of a sudden, week one, 4 days in, I'm like getting spanked by this thing. I mean, this thing is kicking my butt, and I'm learning all of these ways in my life that man, I thought I was on top of stuff, and I realized that I am not a free person. There are more and more things that freedom is not a one-time thing. It's not something that I get free of something, then I go on and I'm good, but it's an ongoing process of being freed. And in fact, you've heard people refer to the colors red, blue, green. You know, we really do try not to pigeonhole people here at Crosspoint, but if you went through the inventories in this book, it kind of helped you identify some of the areas that you generally operate out of, which helps us, you know, get some clarity on what we're wrestling with, what we're struggling through. And and I've just really learned that freedom's an ongoing process for me, that it's not a one-time thing, that I will always increasingly become free, and God wants to take me to new places, but it's an ongoing process. And I know, Eric, for you, that this is kind of the journey you've been on.
Yeah.
For the last year, God's been doing some amazing things in your life, and this has really been kind of a continuation of that.
It sure has. I can really relate to that whole idea of it being a continuing process. You know, God's timing with all this is just it's interesting, and it's really cool. But it was a year ago this month. In fact, I know the date, October 7th of 2009, where I felt God had been just, I use the word, like hunting me down for a period of time, for months and months and months, for about 6 months, about some things in my life that I just really needed to get straight. And he broke me in a major way for that. And it was one of the most difficult times in my life. It was one of the hardest parts of my life. But I just felt like God was saying, you need to take care of these things in your life. You need to address these things in your life, and you need to do it now. And so while it was very hard, and it's a long story, it's a story for another time as far as all of that, but I can relate to anybody who's really been having some sort of thing that maybe they've struggled with for a long, long time. This whole idea of, well, I'm never going to get free from this. I put it in the book at one point, I felt like I was on this treadmill of like, I'm never going to get free of this. And God just, bam, he just hit me about a year ago, just saying, you need to take care of this now. And so it began this process. And as we went into this series, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to relate to a lot of this, because really this last year has been a freedom journey for me. I've experienced the break and the blahs and the blues and the blessing. And at the very beginning of this journey, like you, I went through this book and I realized, no, God has more things he's doing in my life. He removed some big things in my life, this barrier in my life. I felt like I had this ceiling in my life that I was never, ever going to get past. And when I broke through that, I experienced a freedom that I never thought was possible. I was like, this is what people talk about all the time, this thing that I hear in church or I hear in songs. I had never experienced that, and I accepted Jesus when I was 15 years old. In fact, it's November 1st, so it's how many years from tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
And
like 20 years, right?
Yeah, 20 years. I'll be freed from sharing how old I really am maybe later. But I experienced something there that I never thought I'd experience. And I was in the church. I've been in ministry. I've been in Christian radio, all these different things that I never experienced before. But going through this journey, I felt like it was God saying, that was part of it. I removed that ceiling in your life. I removed that major wedge between me and you and you and others. But there's more. We need to drill deeper in this. We need to peel off more layers of this. And so as I went through this book, one of the things that really struck me was that I've let fear dictate so many things in my life. And I've also let this feeling of I'm not worthy of God's love and I'm not worthy of God's grace to dictate my life as well. And those two things kind of have interwoven at times. They've kind of worked together to my detriment of not experiencing everything that God has for me, the freedoms that are there for me. And I look back over the course of my life and everything from not trying out for the high school basketball team to not developing some of the relationships that I wanted to and not doing certain things in my career or my job or my life or with my family because I was fearful of it. And there were other things in my life that I didn't do because I felt like I'm not worthy of it. And one of those things in my life was being baptized. I'd never been baptized. And I realized that through the course of my life, oftentimes I just made excuses for not doing it. One, because I felt like I was not worthy of it because of just the wretch of a person that I am. And two was I was afraid. And as life went on, many of you can maybe relate to this, is that as life goes on, we think, well, if I would have done this when I was in high school, that would have made sense. Or if I would have done this maybe when I was in my early 20s, this would have made sense. You know, and we've let fear dictate us not doing things. And for me, a lot of that was, oh yeah, if I would have done this a while ago, I can, but I can't now. It's too late. Or now I can't do it because I'm this guy who's been in the church for a long time. At the last church we were at in California before we moved here, I was part of the church board. I was never an official member of the church because I was never baptized. But I never shared that with anybody. I just conveniently avoided that whole topic because I was afraid that if people know I'm a member of the church board and I work in Christian radio and they thought, you've never been baptized? So I shied away from that. I let fear get in the way of me experiencing the significant thing in my life. Mm-hmm. And so through this journey, again, God's timing is amazing because we had talked about this during the course of the summer. And again, I avoided it. But it was through this, I thought, there's significance in the act of baptism, which I know you're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I thought there was significance in the fact that I let fear and feeling unworthy get in the way of me being baptized. So an hour ago, I was baptized for the very first time.
Baptized first time, yeah.
And so I would say that my encouragement to you is that if you've let any of these things that maybe you've been wrestling with it, whether it's pride, whether it's feeling like I'm not where I need to be yet with God. When I accomplish all these things, when I've memorized the Bible, when I know how to pray out loud, when I'm no longer afraid, I'm going to do it. But maybe God's saying to you today that this is your point. This maybe begins that breakthrough in your life by going through that and by saying today is the day. October 31st, 2010 is going to be this significant day in your life, this major breakthrough in your life. So I just encourage you that if you haven't been baptized and maybe God has been kind of dealing with you on that today, don't let any of these things that maybe you've been struggling with be that barrier for you to be baptized today.
Exactly. Great day. It was a great day as we celebrated that on the first hour for Eric. And let's hear it for Eric. I mean, that is a big step, you know. Thank you, Eric. You know, When I invited Eric to host today, I forgot that he hadn't been baptized, and I looked at his card after last week, and he marked. I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, or he's going to be put on the spot or not. But you know, he just captured that beautifully, because that's what baptism is. It's, you know, it's this outward expression of something very inward that has taken place, and it really symbolizes that I'm connected to Christ, that I'm intimately connected or tethered to Christ. And as we've said, we've been asking the question: are you tethered to things that tie you down, or are you tethered to things that champion your freedom? And there's something about baptism, about getting into this water, which is very physical. If you choose to do this today, you walk out all wet. It's this reminder. You're going to remember what that felt like for the rest of your life, and yet you're going to remember what that felt like for the rest of your life in the sense of, man, there was a day where I decided to be marked in a sense, to declare that I am connected to Christ. In fact, here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. He says, what shall we do? What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And so what Paul's saying here is, when you're baptized, you're intimately connected, or you're tethered to Christ and his death. And so everything that's on your shoulders, all the sin, all the brokenness, all the things that you've done, that you carry around, you say, man, God, I am not worthy of you. The scripture says you are connected to Christ and his death and resurrection. You're connected in that, and his death actually pays for your junk. And then he goes on, he says, we were therefore buried with him through our baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so Paul's saying, you know, when you enter into relationship with Christ, when you receive grace from him, which you cannot do yourself, all you can do is receive this gift from God. He's already done all the work for you. When you receive this, you're intimately connected to his death. You're intimately connected to his resurrection, and all of your junk is cleansed. And so this cleansing pool, in a sense, that's what this means. It's this cleansing of all of your stuff. In fact, just this week, I got a really cool email from a student who's baptized. She's a 10th grader now, Rachel. And Tin's here, and she was baptized about a year and a half ago. And she said, Kurt, you know, I had to write an essay for my class, my English class, on the most significant decision I ever made. And so she said, I wrote it on my baptism, and I thought you might want to share it. Maybe it's something that would help people see what this is. And so she titled it Free. And I want to read a few parts from it. She said, have you ever made a decision that changed your life in a positive way? I've made many choices over time, some of them good while others bad. One decision that really sticks out to me is my choice to get baptized. When I made this decision, I had to consider many things, such as what will this mean for me? Can I make this decision on my own? And what will this mean to others? I mean, some of the same questions Eric kind of wrestled through. You know, what's this going to mean? What are others going to think of me? What's it going to do for this point in my life? And she went on, she said, sometimes when making choices by yourself, you must follow your heart instead of your mind. During my baptism, I was recalling, as I was standing in the water, why I was making this choice in the first place. All the lights were dim except one. The spotlight was on me. Everyone's eyes were on me, waiting to hear those two short but very powerful words that would influence the rest of my life. She said, I said, I will. I will follow Christ for the rest of my life. I'm connected to him. I said this before being plunged into hundreds of gallons of lukewarm water, and the sound of uncontrollable joy and pride was all I heard as I took my first breath of newly found freedom. My baptism gave me a feeling of warmth, of comfort, of safety, and most importantly, faith. So the predominant emotion that I felt at this time was freedom. I do not know if it was the actual experience of being baptized or the exhilarating sense of just following my heart instead of my head. However, I do know that it's a feeling that I'll never get the privilege of experiencing again. I'll always remember it. And I think the main cause of my emotion may have been the fact that after I knew more about being baptized and what it meant to me in that moment, I instantly knew that I wanted it, I needed it, and that's what I had to do. No one influenced my decision or tried to talk me out of it. And for once in my life, I felt like my life took a 180-degree turn for the better. She closes by saying, being baptized meant so many things for me at the time, and it's still helping me today. It's caused me to become stronger in my faith and my trust, not only in Christ, but in others as well. And also, I feel like I can make my own decisions, and I learned that sometimes following your heart is the best thing to do. Oftentimes, when I find that I think about things too much, my decisions become more and more difficult, in fact, more difficult than they should be. My advice to everyone would be, don't be afraid to turn off your mind and listen to your heart every once in a while, because you might just find that in some circumstances, your heart knows more than your head. And as I thought about this, I thought, man, that's what this is about. That's what baptism's about. And as we're going to share in this experience today, we're going to have a water baptism kind of experience here. And this is for people who have received grace from Christ. This is for those who have said, hey, I've tethered myself to Christ. I've received from him. And one of the things that Jesus asks us to do is he says, I want you to follow me in this baptism experience. I want you to come and you've done something very privately in your heart, and yet this baptism, this symbolism that takes place in this pool of water is this outward symbol of what's really taken place in your life. It's this idea that I've died to myself. I've been freed from things that have tied me down, and I've been raised up. I've been given a new life in a sense. I've been set free because of Christ's grace in my life. In fact, a few weeks ago, some of you filled out these cards that with a Sharpie that said, I've chosen to believe a lie, and Christ is now breaking me free from that lie, and I'm choosing to believe something different. In fact, here's what one person in the seat said. He said, I've chose to believe that God is disappointed in me. I've just believed that all my life. In the back, they said, God has begun to set me free, and I've realized that God accepts me and loves me just as I am. And so that bondage has been broken as they've experienced the grace of Christ and began to become free. Somebody else said, I've chosen to believe that I cannot be cured. Think about that I cannot be cured. And they said, I've realized that Christ is setting me free, and he's helping me see that I can make a difference in the lives of others. And that bondage has been broke. This person has been connected to the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ is changing them, and they're free. Someone else said, I've chose to believe that I cannot trust others. I can only rely on myself. And Christ has gotten in and began to break this bondage, and they're seeing that others can be trusted, and I can ask them for help. And that bondage has been broken because Christ has set them free. Someone said, I believe for my whole life that I'm a failure. And Christ has begun to meet me in that place, and he's helped me to see, and I'm believing now that my life is not a waste. Wow, what an incredible thing to come and be freed of, that my life actually has purpose. This person's life has been set free. Someone else said, I've chose to believe that I am bound by ongoing fear and dread, and yet Christ has entered, and I'm beginning to believe and live as if God is prepared to give me life and peace. Because that's what Christ does. He sets us free, meets us in our place, the things that tie us down, and he breaks those bondages when we're connected to his death, and he resurrects us, a new creation, a new being. And that's what this pool means. And for some of us today, maybe a part of this freedom journey, this freedom experience is saying, today I've never been water baptized. And if that's where you are, you know, we believe baptism is a one-time thing. It's a one-time experience. Now, if you were baptized as a child and you didn't choose that, then you know that wasn't something you chose. You know, baptism is something you choose. It's an expression of saying, I'm choosing to be connected to this freedom giver, Christ. And if you've never been water baptized, had that symbolic, physical, getting wet, saying, you know, I've been marked, there's something, I got fully wet, and it's reminded me, it's something I look back on, I say, I remember the day, as Eric will do for the rest of his life, the day I got into the tub, and Christ, I celebrate that Christ has freed me, and I was resurrected a new person in Christ. Then maybe today is your day. Maybe today is your day where you declare that freedom. You mark yourself. And you might be thinking, man, Kurt, I didn't come prepared. I'm in my clothes. It's cold outside. I'm going to lunch afterwards. You know, that's okay. Maybe you didn't come prepared, but let me tell you, we did. We've been preparing all week. We've actually been preparing for about 3 weeks for today, because we believe that God wants to help some people to go to the next step today, and maybe this is a part of that for you. And so we've got dozens of towels. We've got shorts in all sizes, all the way from the skinniest of shorts to the largest of shorts, 3X plus. We've got undergarments, men and women's, that are both new, so you don't have to step into somebody's used undergarments. That'd be kind of gross. We've got t-shirts for you, baptized t-shirts you'll take with you. So you, there's no barriers today. If this is something that you've always had a reason, you know, I said, man, I want to do that. I want to have that experience in my life. I want to do that at some point, but there's always a reason. It's always maybe the next time, or I want to wait till my family's here. Well, maybe today. Today is your day where you need to declare your freedom. And you just say, I'm going to step into this tub, and I'm going to mark myself. You might say, man, I'm going to be wet when I leave this place. I'm going to go somewhere. Well, that's a celebration mark. It's celebrating that, man, something significant happened today. And so if this is where you are, We had a number of people first hour. We've got a number already prepared this hour that are ready to come into this tub. In just a few moments, we're going to keep the lights dim, and the band's going to play a song, and you're going to see some of these cards in a video with the words, and I want you to listen. And if this is where you are, if you say, man, today is my day, today is a good day, it's the day I'm going to celebrate through water baptism, I'm going to mark this journey because I've been set free in some way, then I'm just going to ask you to quietly slide out of your chair right over here to Holly and John, and they're going to point you out the door. We got a whole team of people back there ready to help you get some clothes, answer any questions, show you locker rooms, and help you come into this place. And you can leave today in your own dry clothes when you get done. It's going to be a good, good day. So if this is where you are and this is a step you want to take as your next step in your journey, then as the band sings, as you watch these images, then you can just quietly slide out to the side.